appreciate the Lord's goodness this morning. We're thankful for the presence of everyone. If we do desire your prayers, as we look into the word of the Lord, 5th chapter of John, we'd like to begin reading. I'd like to talk a little bit about the question of sin.
Amen.
Problem of sin. Sin's a problem.
Yes. Yes.
It's a problem. I'd like to begin reading at the first verse of the 5th chapter of John, leading up to our text.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews.
Yes.
And Jesus went up to Jerusalem.
Amen.
Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches.
Yes.
In these lay a great,
multitude of impotent folk,
blind,
halt,
withered,
waiting for the moving of the water.
For an angel went down,
a certain season into the pool,
and troubled
the water.
Whosoever then first,
yes,
after the troubling of the water,
stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
And a certain man was
there,
which had an infirmity
38 years.
When Jesus saw him
lie,
knew that he'd been now a long time
in that case,
he saith unto him,
Wilt thou be made whole?
The impotent man answered him, Yes, sir, I have no man.
The water is troubled to put me into the pool.
But while I am coming,
another steppeth down before me.
Jesus saith unto him,
Rise, take up thy bed and walk.
And immediately the man was made whole,
took up his bed and walked.
On the same day was the Sabbath.
Read on.
The Jews said unto him
that was cured,
It's the Sabbath day.
It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.
He answered them,
He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk.
Then asked they him,
What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk?
He that was healed
knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away,
multitude
being in that place.
Afterward,
Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee.
The man departed,
yes,
and told the Jews,
all right, thank you. And so we see here a wonderful blessing being granted to a special individual at a very special time.
Yes.
We find here that according to the reading of the Word of God, that there was at a particular time, Jerusalem, a special marked place, a pool by the name of Bethesda. And there were many, many people, multitudes of people, that no doubt just camped around that very place, waiting for a special kind of season where the Lord would move upon or trouble that water. At that particular time, just one individual, and that was that first one that was able to press his way in before the others and step into that pool, that individual would receive a very, very special blessing of healing from God.
Amen.
And so we find that there was one man that had been at that pool a number of times and been in this condition for 38 long years. And every time he thought, this will surely be the day, the waters are troubled. And every time he thought that he would certainly be the one who would be able to receive this special blessing of healing, somebody else stepped in front of him. And so he laid there, disappointed, no doubt, thinking, will there ever come a time, will there ever come a day when I'll be able to receive this special blessing and favor from God? There were others, no doubt, that he watched a number of times walk away, leaving their crutches, leaving all the things that they had depended on to sustain them through throughout their infirmity. They left everything there and went on their way rejoicing, able to lead a different kind of life. That blind man didn't have to sit at the gate with his little cup and beg alms anymore. Didn't have to wear those tattered and worn and filthy clothes anymore. Didn't have to have someone to lean on and leading about the city anymore. His eyes were open and he was able to go out and seek an occupation and do for himself and no doubt be able to feel good in his soul and his body and his mind, be able to pursue a course of life that was altogether opposite of what he had lived in time past. A wonderful change had taken place. A wonderful blessing from heaven. We would compare this moving on the water today as a special time of anointing and divine unction where God Lord his divine presence over a people, over a particular setting, well, they could actually receive divine and special favor from God that it would be very difficult at any other time for them to receive. Not only did the Lord move through the workings of the Spirit where there was power and victory and faith and confidence that the Lord is going to do something special for everyone that'll make a move toward God. There were actual results to be heralded throughout the kingdom that God has worked in our behalf. He gave us a high day in Zion. God blessed us in his word. He blessed us in our soul. There was healing to take place. Our souls were sanctified. There were great deliverances. Devils were cast out. God was very special to us at that time. Oftentimes, during a special meeting, a camp meeting, an assembly meeting, God specially favors those series of services that he's allowed to come take place to where that special kind of blessings can be had. Maybe sometimes the same word of God I've heard from Sunday to Sunday, but God does something special in that meeting, and he opens up our understanding, and he enlightens us, and we can see with a greater clarity what God's endeavoring to speak to our heart, and we have a special boldness and courage to press for help, and we actually have faith to receive help, and we have confidence that I'll be able to live this when this meeting is over, because God has paid a special visit to my soul. And may God bless us and help us this morning to realize God in sundry times had special meetings and blessings that he bestowed upon people in time past, and he's just the same today. He still is working in a special way for those that will acknowledge his healing, a saving favor. I say, even in our regular services, there are times when God does something real special. There's a special awe, a special solemnity that rests upon the very congregation of God's people, where you're almost afraid to move, almost afraid to bat an eye. I don't want to miss anything. God's speaking specially to my soul. When you have a multiplicity of people saying, that was just what I needed, it was just for me. No, God especially at that season bestowed a special portion of his Spirit, and he caused it to descend upon the people, so that there was a great awe at God's eternal word of truth. I say there was this morning, that man, he was looking, expecting, there's God's going to trouble that water again. And when he does, I'm going to be ready next time. But there was nothing to prepare tell him he needed special help. He needed something that he didn't have. But I say there once, one day, there was a man called Jesus that was right there at that scene. And when those waters were troubled, as they always were, and as always before, somebody else stepped in front of him. Jesus, let him know it's your turn now. Wilt thou be made whole? I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Not only can I give you healing to your body where you can walk and move about and have the use of your limbs and the full use of your mind, but I'm able to work down deep in your soul and make you whole indeed. May God bless us and encourage us this morning to recognize Jesus is on the scene this morning, and he wants to trouble your very soul. He wants to trouble your condition and cause you to realize I'm able to make you ever at home this morning. I can heal your body. I can save your soul. I can sanctify your nature. I can give you power over the devil. I can cast out devils. I can do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. I can do it this morning. I can do it. Wilt thou be made whole? That's the question. Do you want this? Do you really want it? How much do you want it? Do you believe I'm able to do it? Wilt thou be made whole? There was a whole lot in that question.
Oh, yeah.
Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want a physical blessing? And then just leave me in my spirit like I am. I want to keep on doing what I'm doing. But I would like a well body to do it with.
Help, Lord.
Wilt thou be made whole? Your outward sickness and infirmity is one thing. But you have a deeper infirmity down in your soul.
Yes.
Wilt thou be made whole?
Yes.
Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want me to heal deeper down than your joints and your marrow?
Yes.
Do you want me to penetrate down into your very soul?
Yes.
Into the very condition of your corrupt heart? Very possibly many afflictions that had caused these different individuals to be there were the cause of sin.
Yeah.
And because of a sinful life, because they exposed their mind, their body to conditions that caused infirmities to come upon them.
Amen.
Sin was the cause of many sicknesses. Those that are in mental institutions, what's the cause of their condition? Sin, dear ones.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou? Who's he talking to? Who has an infirmity? Who has an infirmity that he's willing to acknowledge? I have one.
Amen.
Wilt thou be made whole? You see, if an individual never acknowledges that I have a real bad problem that I can't do a thing with.
Amen.
If they take the attitude, I can have it.
That's right.
They'll never answer this question with the faith and confidence that it's going to take for the Lord to do for them what they really need.
Amen.
Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to continue to drag along your infirmity? You want to continue to bear your burden? Amen. Many people bear their burden just a little too high. A little too proud to acknowledge I need help. I can't do it by myself. May God bless us and help us, dear ones, to realize it's going to take a humble individual to get this kind of help. Amen. Lord, I can't go any further like this. I can't make it on my own. Lord, I'm tired of this condition. I'm tired enough to allow you to work in my life now. I've tried everything. I've exerted all my energy. I'm at wit's end corner, Lord. Lord will come down from the sky and dry the tears from your eyes. Give you the power and victory that you need.
Amen.
That'll make you every whit whole. Every whit whole. Every bit of you. Every part of you. Whole. Perfectly whole. Complete. You know, we're living in a world where there are just people are going about and they're missing vital things. That's in their life. They're missing. They're operating on low rations. Yeah. Operating with just a portion of what they need. Struggling, pressing to get it done. Well, Lord, help us. You know, we don't have to live like that. Wilt thou be made whole? Sir, I have no man. When the water's troubled, he's explained it all to Jesus.
Praise God.
Tell him. You know, the Lord's so patient. He lets us explain it all to him.
Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Even in the room, I know what your problem is. No. Mm-hmm. He's a patient, kind, compassionate Savior.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he is. Praise God. Oh, I marvel at the Lord's patience, at his gracious dealings with a humankind from time to time. I don't have anybody to help me. Have you been depending on somebody to help you? That's a lot of people's problem. Depend on somebody to help me. Amen. And oftentimes there's nobody like that that exists. Amen. Oh, God, help us this morning. Bless the dear Lord. Bless the dear Lord. Don't you know this morning there's a man that can help you? You have a man now. His name is Jesus. Praise God. The only one. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm thanking this morning how it is that many people go along through life and don't recognize that Jesus has suffered and died to satisfy everything that they need. Yeah. They're looking for a physical man. They're looking for a champion of their cause. They're looking for someone to hold them up and support them. They're looking for some earthly comfort, somebody that can understand me, somebody that I can kind of click with, somebody I have a good rapport with. There's just nobody like that. Where people don't understand you anymore. There's nobody to comfort anymore. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. You know, sometimes I think they'd rather complain about what there isn't rather than seek for what they really is. I believe they rather complain. They get more comfort out of complaining what's not available to them rather than recognize the fact everything they need is available.
Amen.
But it's not in the form of flesh. I don't have a man. I don't have a friend. There's nobody like that. Said, do you know my Jesus? Can anybody sing that verse? Sing the first verse of that. Do you know my Jesus? Is there a... Somebody might know that. Yes, Lord.
Do you know my
you know this man? Oh, bless the Lord. Are you carrying a load of care? Are you burdened down? Are you just about broken? Just about the end of your endurance? There's someone that'll come to your aid and satisfy every need that you have. I mean, just one man. One man can do it all. Said, but while I'm coming, another step it down before me. Oh, I'm talking about someone, and Sister Catherine said, you don't have to stand in line for me. You don't have to stand in line. Well, Lord, excuse me, Lord, when you get finished with that one, would you take me next? Would you take me next, Lord? No, there'll be no line crowding with Jesus. No line crowding. Do you realize the myriad prayers that go up unto God at the same time? The many, many prayers from the four corners of the world that go up into heaven. And the Lord acknowledges everyone. He doesn't get mixed up and send your blessing. Well, Lord, what I really needed was a loaf of bread. That's what I really needed. And Lord, you sent me something. I didn't need that. No, he didn't get things crossed up. He sends you exactly what you need. Exactly what you need. God is a refuge and strength. Very present, help in trouble. He knows exactly what you need, and he'll be right on time. Right on time. All right? Jesus told the man, rise, take up your bed and walk. Immediately, the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. Thank God. And when Jesus saw the man again, 14 verse, Jesus found him in the temple. The man, no doubt, had gone there to praise and thank the God of heaven for having mercy upon him for those many, many years. You know, number of years and time, that doesn't mean anything with God. Someone might think an individual that's been in this condition for 38 years might as well just live with it the rest of their life. They don't have that much more time anyway. Just might as well just go on and accept that's just your lot. Don't you know, dear ones, you don't have to accept sin as your lot. You don't have to accept any sin as just your lot. That you just have a weakness that you can't overcome, and that's just something you're going to have to put up with. No, that's not the case. There's a man. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole.
That's right.
I kept my word to you.
Yeah, amen.
I healed your body, but then I took care of the direst need that you had. I saved your soul.
Amen.
Sin no more.
Amen.
Again, a very good likelihood it was because of sin that the man was in the condition that he was. Sin no more. Let the worst thing come unto thee. I want you to know, dear ones, you know, it's a dangerous thing to trifle with God. When God does something special for your soul, your mind, and your body, it'd be well for you to get a death grip on that and never let go. Sin no more. God has done for you what no other power could do. And then you're going to trifle with that thing that caused you to get in such a deplorable condition again? Sin no more. That's the worst thing come unto thee. You know what that's telling me, dear ones? We're going to have to live free from sin.
Yeah. Amen.
Sin no more.
Amen.
Somebody says, oh no, sister, you don't understand. You can't help but sin more or less every day. And why did my Lord say sin no more?
Amen.
He wouldn't tell you to do something you couldn't do with it.
Amen.
Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee.
Amen.
May God bless us and encourage us. If the Lord has delivered you from sin, If he has done something special for your soul, your mind, and your body, sin no more.
Amen.
Let the worst thing come unto thee.
Amen.
Scripture lets us know that a man that turns away from the Lord is just like a what?
Dog
returning to his own mama, and a sow to wallowing in the mire again.
Amen.
Remember Lot's wife.
Amen.
Remember Lot's wife.
Amen.
Sin is a problem.
Yes.
It's a problem that the world is very acquainted with, but at the same time, the world doesn't want to call it a problem.
Amen.
Sin has been painted with such hues, such colors, such tints, and it's designed not to look as bad as it really is. But sin is yet sin in the eyes of God.
Amen.
May God bless us and help us to realize there is a remedy for sin. The Lord is able to deliver us from sin. He's able to bless us in our body and mind and bring about such changes that we can put the full use of what He's invested in us to living for Him and serving Him and being a blessing in His kingdom. Don't sin anymore. Let the worst thing come unto thee. Turn to me with me to the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. A worst thing. I doubt that there's anyone in here this afternoon, this morning, that would like to think that tomorrow they're going to deal with something worse than what they're handling today. Pretty much feel like I'm bearing my capacity now. You wouldn't like to think that tomorrow's going to be worse. If you choose the route of sin, that's just about what's going to happen.
Yeah, amen.
You choose sin. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. You know we have a choice about this sin question.
Amen.
We don't have to sin.
That's right.
Your sister likes to sing that song, "Must we then by sin be humble? Must we yield to any foe? No! By heaven's gift we're reigning over all this world below." You know, it means something to live that song.
Yes, it
means something to live that song.
Yes.
Reigning over sin. Don't have to bow to sin. Don't have to give in to the flesh anymore.
Amen.
By the grace of God. Praise God. You know, sin will humble you on down. That strong man that's used to by brute force doing everything and getting everything he wants. That man that thinks he can control his surroundings. You get to dabbling in sin and you'll find out sin can bring you to your knees.
Amen.
Amen. God help us. Sin can control and possess an individual to the degree that they won't actually know how to actually make a rational choice.
That's right.
Amen.
Sin can reduce you down to nothing. God help us. I don't know what kind of man this impotent man was at one time, but I expect at one time he was a good, sound, healthy man, able to do for himself.
Amen.
Maybe he was a proud man, didn't have to ask anybody anything, and he gloated in that fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And then because of sin, sickness came on his body.
Yeah.
And he was reduced to having asking others to do things for him, people that he wouldn't even look their way at one time, people he despised. But now those same people have to give him a cup of water and give him a morsel of moldy bread. He's glad to get it. Amen.
Amen.
May God help us and bless us, dear ones. Let us not ever bone ourselves against God. If God has blessed us with good health, a good mind, let's use it for Him. If you don't use it for the Lord, the devil's going to have his way with it. God help us. 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I'd like you to read verses 10 through 16, please.
Therefore, O thou son of man.
Yes, Ezekiel.
Speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying,
If our transgressions and our sins be upon us,
and we pine away
in them,
how should we then live?
What kind of remedy is there going to be for such a condition? This is our sins, our transgressions. We did it.
Yeah.
We pine away in them. How shall we live? All right?
Say unto them,
yes?
As I live, saith the Lord God,
I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked,
but that the wicked should turn from his way
and live.
Turn ye from your evil ways.
Why will you die, O house of Israel? Israel thinking, if we pine away in them, we're in a helpless, a hopeless condition, and we're going to die, and there's nothing that can change our condition. How can we live? What can be done for us? And the Lord letting them know, it's not my will that you perish. I find no pleasure in looking on the death of the unrighteous. May God bless us. Realize that when an individual goes out into eternity, I'm prepared to meet God. God is affected, but he's done all he can wisely do for that soul.
Amen.
He's extended the helping hand to them. He's proffered his hand to them, and they spurned it away. And they happened to do it for the last time, not realizing that that was their last time.
Amen.
You know, there's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord.
Yes.
This impotent man seized upon the opportunity to get help from God. Wilt thou be made whole? He could ask him, what could you do for me? No. God especially inspired that moment for that man. And I don't question that God had had some dealing with that man's soul.
Amen.
That man had cried out in the many times that he saw somebody else getting the blessing that he thought was surely his. And he began to cry out in his very soul, oh God, would you provide me a man to help me? Have mercy upon me. And his faith took hold, no doubt, that the Lord would send along someone to come to his aid. That man was Jesus.
Praise God.
He sent a man to help him. Bless the Lord. Oh, I say, God is touched with the feeling of our infirmity this morning. He's touched, he's moved, he's affected by the condition that we're in. All right, read on some more.
Therefore, thou son of man,
say unto the children of thy people,
the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him
in the day of his transgression.
As for the wickedness of the wicked,
he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turned from his wickedness.
Neither shall the righteous be able to live
for his righteousness in the day that he sinned. Some people adhere to a doctrine in the world that a man is once saved and he's always saved. But dear ones, this scripture tells us of something different. That righteous man, when he turns from his righteousness, all the righteousness that he has done will not be mentioned to him again.
Amen.
Amen.
He's an unrighteous man now. He's a wicked man.
Yeah.
And the day that he turned, God won't bring up to him, well, you did do a lot of good work for me. I do remember you influenced many souls to be saved. And so I'm going to let you get by. Oh, no. Oh, no. It won't be that way, dear ones. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Dear ones, there are disciples, and then there's disciples indeed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Some people will go along for a while, but when tribulation arises because of the word, they become offended and they go away.
Yes.
The trials come, the tests come. When God calls on them to bear the cross of Jesus and bear his reproach and shame,
Lord,
you're not willing to bear that cross. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for you and one for me. Bearing a cross to wear a crown. Oh, Lord, bless us and help us. Righteous man, you and I are going to have to bear our cross. We're going to have to bear it in a way that the Lord is glorified through it all. If we for one moment glory in the flesh, the Lord will put His finger on us and we'll have to reckon with Him.
Amen.
Amen. God bless us. Read on a little more.
13. When I shall say to the righteous,
when I say to the righteous,
he shall surely live
if he trusts to his own righteousness. If he becomes self-righteous. If he begin glorying in the works that he's doing, not recognizing it took God's grace and mercy for him to do what he's doing. If he take on with the attitude that he is the one that's doing it, and he trusts to his own righteousness, that man just setting himself up to commit iniquity.
Amen.
What else does it say?
And commit iniquity, all his righteousness,
shall not be remembered.
But his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it.
May God bless us. I don't know if there's anyone here that believes like that, once in Christ and never out, but I pray God will write upon the tables of your heart and recognizing, dear ones, that when the Lord saves your soul, as long as you continue in righteousness, you're doing well in His eyes. And you are doing well in His divine favor. But the moment you sin, you are not the Lord's child anymore. You are not His son anymore. You have yielded yourselves to the servants of the devil, and his servants you are.
Amen.
Many say, well, in a family, if an individual, in a family, there are five or six sons, if that son goes out and does anything wrong, is he still that man's son? And you say, well, yes, he's still their son. Well, he's just his disobedient son, but he's still his son. And they say, well, in the same manner, when an individual becomes the son of God and he gets saved, if he goes out and he does sin, he's still the Lord's son. He's just a disobedient son. No, the Bible doesn't read like that.
Amen.
It says plainly that the Lord doesn't remember that sonship in that light anymore. He doesn't remember it anymore. That's why it says they'll come out in the last time and they'll say, Lord, don't you remember me?
Yeah.
Don't you remember me?
Yeah.
He said, I never knew you. When you sin, the Lord cast your righteousness in a sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
Just like He cast your sins in a sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
After an individual gets saved, God is not knocking on an individual's door and reminding him day in and day out what he used to be.
Amen.
Oh no.
Amen.
He doesn't do that. So by the same token, when we sin, God is not going to merit the things that we did in our saved life. May God bless us and encourage us. Through the 14th verse, please.
Again, when I say unto the wicked,
yes,
thou shalt surely die.
Yes.
If he turn from his sin and do that which
if
is
that wicked
right,
man, that wicked man. You can say to men, low down.
Yes.
You have that term in your vocabulary, don't you?
Yeah.
You probably used it for somebody else.
Yeah.
That man got way low.
Yeah.
Amen. But you know, the song says, he came way down.
Yeah.
He came way down.
Amen.
Praise God. Jesus came way down.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. That man can live a low-down life, so to speak. But when that wicked man turns from his wickedness,
yeah,
praise God, he's just a saint. He's just a saint anyhow.
Amen.
He's just a saint.
Right.
Thank God. Oh, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
what God does and the attitude that he has toward a sinner once he gives his heart to God. May the Lord bless. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. Through the same verse, please.
The wicked restore the
if he restore the pledge.
Give again that he had robbed.
Yes. Now, when you get saved, dear ones, may the Lord bless us to realize that those ugly old things that you did that you can clear up, the Lord expects you to clear up your past life.
Amen.
That's where a lot of people fail.
Amen.
They don't restore the restitutions. They don't restore the pledge. After they've been saved for a while, the Lord's going to bring to your mind, you remember you stole little such and so?
Yes.
You remember how you murdered somebody's name and so forth and so on? I want you to go back and clear that up.
Amen.
And he'll impress you to do it when you have grace to do it.
Yes. Amen.
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 You know, a lot of people fail right there.
Yes.
What will people think about me? What will that man... Do you realize if I go back to that man can send me to jail?
Amen.
Do you realize you can lose your soul?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you realize you can lose your soul over not following through? When the Lord saved you on condition.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He saved your soul. He took the will for the deed. May God bless us.
Amen.
Amen. Said, Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done. One of the fruit of godly sorrow is what clearing of yourself.
Amen.
It calls you to be willing to clear up that past life.
Amen.
Well, saints, I want you to pray for me. This may be the last prayer meeting I'm able to be in for a while. I'm going to make a restitution.
Amen.
Amen. I took thus and so. I'm from this particular place. Unless God is willing to have mercy upon me, I'll probably have to spend some time in jail. But I want you to know, I mean to live saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's the kind of attitude godly sorrow will give you.
Amen.
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 I'm depending on your prayers, saints.
Yes.
You know what? God will go before that man oftentimes. It's happened many, many times.
Yes.
And soften that proprietor's heart.
Yes.
And when that individual comes and says, sir, and you had this and so, sitting out at a certain display, and when you turned your head, I stuck it under my coat and I fled with it. And I want to come back and I want to clear this thing up. I want you to know I don't have any money now, but I'm willing to pay for that article. I'm willing to restore whatever I will satisfy you.
Amen.
You know, oftentimes I'll bring tears to that man's eyes. God will prick that man's heart and he'll say, sir, if God has done such a wonderful thing for you, I don't want to spoil it. Go right ahead. You have my blessings. I'm just satisfied that you changed your life. God's able to work on our behalf if we're honest about living for him. God, this how it'll work something, see? It'll work something. Amen. Restore that pledge, wicked man. Give again that you rob. Walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Sin doesn't have to be a problem for you. Praise God. God can deliver you from sin and give you power over all the consequences of it. All the consequences of sin. Certain things you're going to meet up in life because you sowed some wicked seeds for the devil. And you're saved now, but you're going to have to deal with those seeds that you sowed. God will give you grace to bear it. He'll give you, don't you know, you're going to reap those things anyway. You can reap them without Jesus, or you can reap them with him. Amen. He'll give you grace to bear it. Not be murmuring and complaining about the other folks and realize, Lord, you haven't rewarded me according to my works of iniquity. You haven't dealt with me according to what I did. I was a bad sinner, Lord, but you had mercy on me. And you bless me and cause me to be fruitful. You've given me a good life, and I appreciate it, Lord. Had it not been for you, I could have filled a Christless grave. We realize what God allows to come our way is by no means in proportion to what He could have allowed to come our way after we get saved. An individual that'll continue in his sin, the scripture says he'll sow a wind and he'll reap a whirlwind. Amen. He'll reap a whirlwind. But I say with Jesus by your side, he'll give you grace to endure and bear it and be thankful. Be thankful that God had mercy on your soul and saved you when he did. Bless the Lord. All right. We're going to 16 verse.
None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him.
Yes.
He hath done that.
Done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Bless the Lord. We're going to conclude here in the 8th chapter of the book of John. You know this story. A lot of people like to stop on up in the story before the story is over. We'd like to read it all. Beginning at the first verse, probably through the 11th verse.
Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them.
Mm-hmm.
And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery.
Yes.
And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master,
yes,
this woman was
taken in adultery in the very act.
Now
Moses in the law commanded us
that such should be stoned.
Yes.
But what sayest thou?
Will you say about it?
This they said,
tempting him,
they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down
with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not.
Amen. So when they continued asking,
he lifted up himself, said unto them,
He that is without sin
among you, let him first cast a stone at her. That's just like an explosion to him.
Praise God.
He that is without sin among you.
Amen.
This is the kind of judging that the scripture condemns. When it says, judge not that ye be not judged, this is the type of judging that is condemned. First chapter, rather the second chapter of the book of Romans. Also, the first few verses is speaking about this same type of mentality, so to speak. You know, there are many people that just live a double standard. One for you and one for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. What does the first few verses of Romans 2nd chapter say?
Therefore,
thou art inexcusable, old man,
whosoever
thou art. Scribe, Pharisee, lawyer, Sadducee.
Amen.
Whosoever thou art. Read on.
For wherein thou judgest another,
you're judging an individual.
Thou condemnest thyself.
You're condemning yourself. Why?
Thou that judgest doest the same thing.
You're doing the same thing. What are you doing bringing this woman to Jesus and you're doing the very same thing?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God help us. You know what? The Lord rates our attitude and how we deal with matters in life.
Amen.
How we deal with somebody else's sin. Amen. Amen. Lord help us. What are you doing bringing this woman to Jesus as though you never committed adultery? As a matter of fact, there's adultery in your heart right now. Now, adultery is sin and it heads the list. Amen. It heads the list. God have mercy and help us to realize there are people that are preaching that it's lawful for an individual to divorce. But the scripture says from the beginning, it wasn't so.
Amen.
And the only reason why Moses allowed it, it didn't say God allowed it.
Yes.
Moses suffered you a writing of divorcement.
Amen.
Because of the hardness of your heart.
Amen.
You believe this?
Amen.
But from the beginning, it was not so.
Amen.
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 Lord, help us.
Amen.
Now, come on now. Let's back this up.
Yeah.
Back it up.
Yeah.
Back it up with the rest of it.
Yeah.
Not talking about the man that's stealing now. I'm talking about the adultery.
Yeah.
Adulteress.
Yeah.
Back it up. It's still Bible and it's still
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And it's sin. And it's a problem for some people.
Yeah.
That sin's a problem for some people.
Yeah.
And they can't surmount it.
Amen.
Or they won't. Not willing to. They excuse themselves to live in adultery. Lord help us. And because the man that they're committing adultery with wears a white collar instead of a blue collar or a brown collar. See? Amen. Oh no. Pharisees and Sadducees, they're white collar, see? Stiff one. Like that stiff white collar at the top and that black frock and black pants. You know what I'm talking about? It's still adultery. God help us. I can't shake it off because I preach to you. God help us. I get in the pulpit and try to teach you you shouldn't steal. All right. Stole somebody else's wife. God help us.
Yes, amen.
Bible's plain and bold on that subject.
Yes.
No need for us to stumble over it.
Amen.
Godless heart will work repentance.
Yes.
Amen. Well, Lord help us.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
All right. You all you can do is grunt. Come on, give me the grunt. Adultery is a problem.
Yeah.
Folks got wife and children back there somewhere in the past.
Yeah.
And going, trying to live for the Lord and trying to force through somebody else's wife.
Yeah.
Well, I did that in sin. Lord, don't count that. Yes, he does.
Yes,
he does.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You go and get back with your family. Get back with your family.
Amen.
Amen. And you're trying to get somebody's daughter, giving them a good line. Amen. Tell them how you was mistreated.
Yeah.
She didn't understand me. But you understand me. Amen. God will not hold you guiltless.
Amen.
You'll pay for it.
Amen.
Amen. Lord help us. You know there's folks that left one state, left a family there, and moved to another state and just start a new family altogether.
That's
what kind of natural affection do they have?
That's
don't
right.
tell me that that individual loves God and they don't even love those little children
right.
that they left back there.
Right.
Just up and left them.
All right.
Amen. All
right.
Come on, let's hear it. Oh, yes, it's right. And people do it all around. And then what they do, go on and get a religious profession. Get right on in there and be a Sunday school teacher and a deacon and be right in the amen corner. When the preacher says something about adultery, they say amen the loudest. You know why? Because it hit them. This is true, folks. Sometimes the one that say amen the loudest. Instead of saying, ow, they say, amen. They got hit. And they're willing to acknowledge. And they go on like that. You can be sure those sins will find you out. God help us. Sectism and denominationalism, what the scripture called Babylon, And it's become the hold of every unclean and hateful bird. All kind of spirits, adulterous spirits, and every type of spirit that you can name is right there. And they all have a form of godliness, but deny the very power of it. Amen. Pure religion, dear ones, is what God acknowledges. That's uncleanness. He didn't acknowledge that. He didn't acknowledge you and I are clean in church. Living for God is not a game. It's serious business. He that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. Amen, Lord. It's all right, isn't it? Praise God. Thank God. All right. Just read on a little bit more. Did you finish that in Romans the second?
Second verse says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them
yes.
who commit such things."
That's right.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Read on some more in the 8th chapter of John is where I am now.
"And they which heard it, being convicted by their own
conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest,
even
unto the last.
And Jesus was left alone. And the woman."
Can you imagine their conversation after they left? What kind of conversation could they have had? What kind of justifications could they have had? You know, when you're caught, the best thing for you to do is throw up your hands. Don't go on and press over the Spirit of the Lord pricking you. Don't go over that. Don't push over that. Amen. Say, "Well, Lord, you caught me. That's me. Caught me red-handed. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I know I profess for several years, but Lord, your word has condemned me. Have mercy on me. Clean me up." He'll do it. "Wilt thou be made whole?" There's a man that can make you whole. All right, read on through the 11th verse, please. "Convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one." All right. "Jesus lifted up himself, saw none but the woman."
"He said unto her,"
yes,
"Woman, where are those thine accusers?"
"Where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee?"
She said, "No man, Lord."
Who is he that condemneth? It's God that justifieth. That's what the scripture says. It's telling us, you be careful how you condemn a man. God's going to justify that man one way or another if he's going to be justified.
Yeah.
Be careful of your attitude and how you point fingers.
Amen.
Be careful about it.
Yeah.
Our dear ones, this is important for you and I.
Amen.
And we be able to maintain the right kind of attitude in dealing with wrongdoing.
Yeah.
Because the devil wants to slip something up on you.
Yeah.
And we don't want him to do it.
Yeah.
God help us. Read on.
"Said, No man, Lord."
"No man, Lord."
"And Jesus said unto her."
"Jesus said unto her,
neither do I condemn
you." I don't condemn you. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
This is Jesus' only purpose in dealing with this matter in this manner.
Amen.
"Neither do I condemn thee, but I've made grace available to you that you don't have to commit adultery anymore."
Amen.
That's what it means.
Amen.
"Neither do I condemn thee." I'm not trying to make you feel bad and cast you down, but I want you to know that there's deliverance.
Yes.
There is deliverance. Sin no more.
Amen.
Praise God. Go and sin no more. You can live a clean life now by the grace
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Well, may the Lord bless us this morning.
Praise God.
I trust these few words will prove a blessing to you. Don't have to sin. Sin doesn't have to be a problem.
Amen.
Jesus can take care of your problem.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.